people pray and they don't seem to get any better. They were sad before, and they're even still sad. And they didn't leave it with God. God could take care of us, but they're still carrying it. Okay, so I wonder if we need to examine our faith. Do we believe that God would take care of us? You know, we talked to my son Jerry yesterday about he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to waste his time, drive all the way to Georgia and spend the money on the hotel and be there for a week. And then the mother is going to say, well, I changed my mind, and drive all the way back. And they've already invested quite a bit of money. And so he said, I don't know how to even think about these things. You know, I don't know whether to be happy or fearful. Or what I say, Jerry, just keep on trusting God. Jerry's a very, very faithful man. And so is Sarah. And so I was saying about trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What God's going to do, he's going to do. And it's the best decision. So why should we be nervous about that? So as I was thinking about that this morning, while Debbie and I were having our morning devotionals, we got a little prayer button the kids gave us for my birthday. It's all like, hey, just hit the button and there's a scripture is read, right? Well, this morning, I was just talking to Jared last night about Proverbs 3:5. I hit the button. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in God. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give it to you. So not only did that work out this morning, it was like, God, you are right with us a lot. Think of how many scriptures there are in the Bible. Okay? And God chose that one to come out on the Bible button this morning. So in our devotional, it's talking about, I'll just save some time, in Numbers chapter 11, God is very angry at the Israelites who he got from slavery and brought across the Red Sea, and he bring them to the Promised Land, and they needed something to eat, and he gave them manna. Right? It was the perfect food for them to eat, yet they complained. You ever complain that man, I had vanilla ice cream last week? Are we going to have turkey again the third day in a row after Thanksgiving? We complain so easy, don't we? God was so angry. He burned up a bunch of people on the edges of the camp because they needed food, and he gave them what they needed. And I was thinking, boy, this is something I really needed to have in my life because this situation is going on between my heart. Doctor told me to lose 20 pounds by next year, and I wasn't doing it. And, you know, the cancer doctor gave me these other instructions. He said, your liver is going up because of this thing you gave me. And he just got to call the other day. He said, you got to call the surgeon. You got to have your gallbladder out because of your diet and whatever it is. You got a gallstone there. Right? I'm thinking, okay, so Debbie is wonderful and jumping to the rescue. Okay, and Rebecca also. They're jumping. What can I eat that's going to help my gallstone? And, you know, it's full of things. And I was so thankful that there's lots of good things to eat that aren't fat. Okay, I can't eat fat. So there goes the ice cream, there goes the this, and there goes the butter and everything else. It's like, you know what? God has given us manna. I mean, we have more food in our house, really, all the time. I'm sure that applies to many of you. And so I'm supposed to trust in God. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the perfect time that I can eat the right food, I'll do what my doctor, my heart is saying. It's supposed to help my gallbladder and everything else. And plus, I'll get rid of some of this gut. I said, God, you are so good. Really, it was a sort of a burden of a thing to hear. But then when I think about it, God has blessed me with, I mean, I am the most blessed man on earth. Look at that wife over there. Look at my kids. Look at my grand. I mean, I have been blessed so much. How can I possibly complain? So the next thing on our devotional this morning was about peace. God came to bring us peace. He said that before he was crucified, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you, right? And after he was crucified, went through that giving of his flesh and giving of his blood and buried in the earth for 3 days, he resurrected and he came to them. What's the first thing he said? Peace be with you. Peace. Are you accepting the peace that God gives you? Are you trusting in God that he is going to take care of you? Do your prayers reflect that? That God, I am in such peace. I am rejoicing because also, by the way, he said, let the joy that is in me be in them. Well, Lord, how can I have joy when I get the gallbladder stone? You know, I mean, you can do that with a sliver. I mean, you can say, oh, woe is me. I got a sliver. Let's face reality. And we know that we're all getting older. Are you getting older, Paul? We're getting older. And you know what? The inevitable is coming. The target of death is going to be hit right in the middle. Okay? It's coming. Are we ready for that? Do you long for it? Right? It says in the end of the Bible, the end of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Paul said, it's better for me that I go, but it's better for you if I stay. So we have prayer. So what I want to say about all that sort of introduction is that in our devotion this morning, God was answering 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord. These people were complaining about the things they had to eat when there was plenty for them. That and also the peace that I need to have that surpasses all understanding. My goodness, rejoice always. Amen. Rejoice always. So I want to look at. I was going to say one more thing about that introduction is that when we pray, we need to recognize that God hears us. Yeah. Okay, he's got excellent hearing. Okay, and he answers us. We say, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, when Jesus said, "When you ask your Father for a fish, is he going to give you a scorpion?" You know, I mean, your Father knows how to take care of you. Okay, so not only does God hear you, but he answers you. Right? He answers you. Now, let me say this. Jesus gave a long sermon in our Bible, 3 chapters, the Sermon on the Mount, right? And then at the end, he said, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them would be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And you know the whole story on the house falling down when you build it on the sand. But when you build it on the Lord, okay, now we're building on the Lord because it's what the Lord said, right? He gave us all these instructions, and he said, hear these words and act upon them. Act upon them. So let's get to Deb's classroom for a minute. Ephesians chapter 3, we have a prayer. We have a prayer in verse 14. I'm thankful that Debbie had this for her text verse in her class Friday. It's called Times of Refreshing, right, Debbie? Mm-hmm. The times we have studied the Bible because times of reflection come when we hear God's word. So in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 14 beginning, It says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. You know, our King is our Father. And imagine, you know, in the feudal days, you know, and there's a king up on that castle up there like this. You tell somebody, by the way, the king is my Father. Okay? And he's got amazing riches that he gives me all the time. And that's only an earthly thing. What he has given us is eternity with an earthly riches. So strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. You know, you just don't want a little bit of God. You want the east and west and north and south. You want the inside, the outside, the dark, or the brightness. We want every part of God, not just a little piece. That we may be able to comprehend that and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Boy, I tell you, I am so filled up with the goodness of God. I am so thankful. You know, I'll be turning 75 this year. You know, in a couple of months. I know it's nothing to you, Paul, but that's a lot to me. Right, Bob? When I was a kid, at 75, it seemed like, what, you're not R.I.P. on a stone in the graveyard, you know? That was really old, but now it doesn't seem very old. It's like, wow, I should be able to live to 92 like my mom, to 94 like my father-in-law. My dad took his life at 86, but still, that length of time. We don't know when God's going to call us home, but when he does, it'll be even better than living. So be filled up with all the fullness of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to look over at Psalm chapter 103. A whole bunch of things that he does. It's a verse full of verbs. Psalm 103 is wonderful. I've got so many things underlined and circled here and highlighted in different colors. It starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. Did you forget that God blessed you so richly? Did you forget that car should have hit you, but he didn't? He swerved away. Did you forget that you should have been dead how many times? I tell you what, I have to sit down with you for a long time and tell you all the times I should have been dead. Right? From infections to heart attacks to guys almost hit me. That stupid things I did when I was in the Navy. Riding my motorcycle like an idiot when I was 16. I mean, I should have been dead a long time ago. For some reason, God has kept me alive. So forget none of his benefits. Okay? He's allowed me to further my life and have children. Have a wonderful wife and have children and grandchildren, have a home and certainly be a part of the Church of Christ, part of salvation that leads me forever and on. This is the Lord, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, it says over in chapter 92, verse 14, that even an old age will be full of sap. Hey, Bob? He's got a sappy guy. Even in our old age, still going to have that sap dripping down on tree, right? We're a healthy tree. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Be patient with me, God. I have a little plaque at home that says, be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, thank you, God, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. They're away. They're never coming back. They're infinity. They're gone. Mm-hmm. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. And as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who, on those who fear him, and the righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. I mean, boy, this thing is just filled with wonderful things. 103. We'll stop there. I want to flip over simmer. I don't like this word. Similarly. I hate that word. Similarly. Over to Romans, if you would. You know, my father never could say gazebo. He always said gazebo. He couldn't say aluminum. It was aluminum. And he never could say, linoleum. Linoleum. I have trouble with similarly. In Romans chapter 8, look at this. I just took one ahead, a couple of verses, three verses, I think. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are completely free of condemnation. We are 100% right with God. Oh, praise God for that. What a wonderful thing that is. He says, verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay, we all have suffering, right? We all have difficulties in our lives. You know what? Let the pain remind you of how good God is, because he's going to give us an eternal life with no pain. And in 8:28, he says, For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jared and Sarah, whatever happens today, tomorrow, the next day, you know what? It's all going to be for the good because you love him. You know what kind of people Jared and Sarah are? They don't want to tell God if they or what kind of baby they want. You know, they don't want to say, you know, Jared has green eyes. And he's a tall, rugged man. Oh, and Sarah is a pretty girl with brunette hair. And we want to have someone that looks like us. They say, God, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. I don't care if it's a white, black, or green. Oh, could be an alien, I suppose, huh? We say, God, whoever you would like to send us for us to take care of that child for the rest of his life, that's who we want. they've got a wonderful life and they can give a lot to a child that their mother didn't want them. So this is the fifth time they're doing this. They look crazy, but... First Thessalonians 5, verse 17 is one little verse. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. I remember Ray Johnston one time said, when you pray, don't think of it as a phone call. When you say amen, that's hanging up the phone and then go do what you want. Mm-hmm. He said, keep the line open. As you go, talk to the Lord about everything. Listen for him to answer you. Like I was saying, how he answered us this morning with those three wonderful verses. He was answering us before we even prayed about them completely, about our difficulties, right? God said, here's the answer right here. I want to keep on giving you answers. I want to keep on blessing you and helping you all day long. So keep an eye out for me. And keeping an eye out is like seeking the Lord with all your heart. Lord, I'm ever ready to hear your voice. Let me see it in nature. Let me see it in scriptures. Let me see it in friends and family. God, I'm ready to hear your voice. And I want to react that way. So pray without ceasing. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he talks about, well, let's just flip over there real quick. He gives the whole armor of God, right? And then... He says, verse 18, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel. So, our prayers are not only for ourselves. Okay? You know the saying, better to give than to receive? Right? He wants you to love others. Right? Jesus, others, J-O-Y, yourself. I figured it was the J-O-Y thing. Jesus, others, and self. Think of how wonderful he wants to hear from you about to give him glory. Okay, we were created to bring God glory, all right? We bring God glory when we love him, okay? That's our biggest thing, is to love God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor and ourselves. So we love God, and we want to do what he wants us to do. We need to love our neighbor, and so pray for them. Don't think selfishly all the time. Oh, my toe hurts. I've been praying about my poor toe all day, or whatever it is. Pray for others, because there's people that need your prayer a lot more than you do. Okay? So be with others. Finally, it says in Matthew 28:20, I am with you once in a while. I am with you sometimes. I am with you only when you go to church on Sunday and don't miss. I said, I am with you always. In all your highs and lows, I've always appreciated one of Bob Kenny's favorite songs. I can't think of the woman's name. Who says, the God of the mountain. Linda Randall, the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. You know, when you were up there doing that, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Don't you love that thing? The sound of music. He's also the one that's down in the dungeon. Okay, doesn't seem like he even loves you anymore. It seems like he's rejected you. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? He's the same God that loved you on the mountain is the same God loving you still. So I am with you always. Pardon? He loves you in the valley. That's right, Joe. So I want you to have peace in believing. Amen? Amen. Almighty God, Father, we love you so much. And thank you, God, so much for everything. God, we thank you for your creation, and we want to bring you glory for our part in that creation. Thank you, God, for blessing us so much. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to give whatever we have to others and bless them. Father, we are full of blessings. Thank you, God, so much. In Jesus' name, amen.